If you're feeling the pressure keeping up with new tools and apps in the sales world, this episode is for you. Our guest, Jake, is a sales executive for Sales Hacker. He's a great resource to help you keep up with the craft and avoid detrimental overwhelm. And he'll be sharing some awesome ways to keep yourself educated and in the sales game. In this podcast, Jake reveals the crucial importance of continuing your sales education, tips for knowing your audience both in and out of the tech world, information on the upcoming Sales Hacker Conference.
So we're gathered here to talk about your role and what you're doing now. And also, you know, the people listening to the podcast are going to be people who might be struggling with prospecting, or they may want to pick up some additional tools and ideas and experiences that you've had that you might want to share with the audience. And, you know, tell us about your path to what you're doing now and lessons learned and, you know, a couple tidbits and takeaways that people can start activating right away as the result of our call.
Yeah. So my path was when I first got out of college, went to UCSB, gaucho like yourself.
Yeah.
I went to work for a company as like a management trainee in the semi-trailer leasing business.
Okay.
So nothing tech related at all, but a big portion of it, of my job, was prospecting. And they were very old school, so it was just pick up the phone, very little email, you know, just cold calling, you know, right and left, trying to get transportation managers on the phone. And once that company ended up getting sold, so I had to move on. But I realized when I started looking for a job after that, that the tech world specifically, but more industries, you know, are catching up to it, really specializes in just prospecting. And I didn't know that was a thing until I found a company called Velocify in El Segundo, and they hired me on as one of their BDRs to do prospecting. And I thought, well, this is perfect. I was just doing this. I didn't know you could specialize in this role, because before my role was sort of a hybrid of a lot of different things. So that's how I got into being a BDR there. I loved it. I thought the challenge of trying to get people not only to get on a demo, but just to get on a call with you was sort of exhilarating. And when I was there, one of the main ways that I utilized my community to prospect was through the Sales Hacker LinkedIn group.
Okay.
That's how I got involved here. And I loved what they were doing, what they were saying. I learned a lot from them. I didn't just use them for prospecting. I learned how to prospect from other people, what tools were good to use. And when they were looking for someone to run sponsorships for them, it just seemed like a logical place for me to be since I believed in what we were doing here.
Oh, that's awesome. And they specialize. I had a conversation with Max this morning. So I asked specifically, what portions of the pipeline do you specialize with training and dissemination of information? And he's like, the full gamut, which is great. Because, you know, I just focus on that little pie sales process from cold conversation to qualified opportunity, which is the subject of predictable revenue.
Uh-huh.
I have never strayed from that for the last 25 years. That's what I've been doing. So it was really refreshing to hear that anyone who has an inkling of wanting to get into the sales profession can go to this resource that has pretty much all the sales roles figured, not, you know, with educational materials. So they could, first of all, decide, where am I best suited? Because one of the issues that I see a lot, now granted, I'm not skills training, I'm sales process. But one of the issues I see a lot is that we've got the wrong person in the role of a business developer. And they maybe should be someone who manages the account after it's sold,
right,
and then grows that account through cross-selling or upselling. I'm sure those terms are pretty familiar to our audience.
Sure.
And then there's the whole account executive role, which, you know, to me is like you're engaged now and you're trying to get married, you know, and where I am most comfortable is I'm in the dating mode. So I'm trying to get people to notice me, to see how wonderful I am, and also to, you know, go the original, you know, the first part of the path with me towards becoming a client. So that was really refreshing. That's a lot to cover.
It is a lot to cover, but it's definitely necessary. I mean, when I was using it as a BDR, you know, I had the goals and aspiration to become an account executive and sometime in the future, maybe a VP of sales or something like that.
Right.
And I read that information, you know, not that was pertaining just to my role, but to the roles that I wanted to be in. They say you should dress for the job you want, not the job you're in. To me, that was the same kind of situation. I should learn about the job that I want to be in, not just the job I'm in.
Right.
Skills.
That's great. So you guys have, when did Sales Hacker start publishing?
A few years ago. Mm-hmm. It started with just some meetups around the San Francisco Bay Area. And as it grew in popularity, people were coming to those. It became a blog and it became webinars and then it became events where we are today.
Okay. And I have personally read at least 200 of the blog posts, it seems like, you know, because there's always information. I mean, people like me who have been doing this for a long time, you're constantly learning. I think one of the things that I want our audience to really understand is that we're never finished with our learnings.
Definitely.
And especially now, when I was talking to Max, the tools that are out there for sales are just so ubiquitous that it's kind of like, wow.
You know? Yeah. It's overwhelming. I mean, sales is moving so fast and technology is trying to keep up with it in any way it can. And so there's a new product every day that changes the game.
It changes the game, but then there's products that overlap and this whole concept of the actual sales stack that, you know, that terminology, I think, wasn't even in existence a couple of years ago.
No,
you know,
definitely not.
What tools can you use together to start conversation, to get them through the top of the pipeline towards an opportunity and then get them to closed one, hopefully. And then from there, you know, get them serviced and, you know, success, keeping the lifetime value. And there's tools for all of that now.
There are tools for all of that.
Yeah.
And they all either do one piece or multiple pieces. They overlap, as you said. And
yeah. It's almost like you need to have a constant advisory as to which tools work best with others. And, you know, so an organization like yours that talks about, you know, the latest technological breakthroughs or tools, and then also shares experiences of what people have done and which tools they've used, I think is just fabulous. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal of all of our events. I mean, we named our event Sales Stack, not the one in June with Salesforce, but the November one that we're going to be doing annually is Sales Stack for that very reason. You know, we want people, sales leaders who don't know, you know, what piece of their sales pipeline is missing, that we want them to come and build their own sales stack right there in our marketplace. So,
oh, that's great. So tell us about the events that are coming up and also who would be best served by attending these events. Now, you mentioned there's a June event and you mentioned there's another one in November, you said?
In November.
November. Yep. Tell us about the June event first. Who's the ideal person to go to that event?
Yeah, the June event is going to be called Sales Machine 2016. It's the first ever of its concept that we've done. And that's because we are co-hosting it with Salesforce. Okay. So that's a big deal for us. Mm-hmm. The event is going to be highly focused on the enterprise. So we're looking at targeting companies that have 1,000+ total employees. Those are the kinds of companies that are going to get the most value out of attending this kind of conference. And we're going to be, you know, what we've seen in sort of the trend of sales is that, you know, we talk to a lot of tech people every day because that's sort of the space that we're in. But the same problems are plaguing every sales team around the country. So it's not just tech people that need to add to their sales technology stack or their sales processes. It's everyone.
Right.
So we're going to be covering a wide variety of industries. It's going to be focused on not just sales technology, but just sales processes in general, how to, you know, best onboard and train your reps, how to hire the best reps, you know, top of the line funnel management with your BDRs or SDRs and all the way through closing and account management. So it's covering the whole process, not just technology, but also, you know, managing that team.
Wow. So the what I call sales skills, sales management, sales process, all of those items are going to be covered. Are you having workshops, or what is the format of that event?
Yeah, we are. We're going to have a couple workshops the day before. So the event will be June 15th and 16th.
Okay.
The workshops will be on the 14th. It'll be in New York. And the workshops will be a little bit more intimate with, you know, a smaller group of people, maybe 30 or 40, with one person leading the session. Mm-hmm. And then at the actual event, we will have some massive keynote speakers like Arianna Huffington, or Billy Bean, the guy from Moneyball.
Wow.
Portrayed by Brad Pitt, if people have seen the movie.
Right.
And then we're going to intersperse that with some panels. We find it's best at our events when we have specific topics led by a moderator and a few other folks who are experts in that space each share their ideas. That way we get more ideas, you know, all at once, as opposed to just, you know, one person speaking at a time. So a lot of them will be panels.
Perfect. Well, just so the listeners know, there will be some notes in the show notes for this podcast that will be codes that you can, if you want to go to the event, that Max has agreed to a discount code for you for attendees. So
awesome.
Check out the show notes for this podcast and you'll see what the code is in order to be able to attend the event. So tell us now about the November one. How does that differ from the one in June?
Yeah, so the November one is going to be a little bit more focused on the sales technology stack that we were talking about before. Okay. So it's not as broad. It's a little bit more on how do we build this technology stack to automate the current processes within our teams, and then how do we implement it all together? Because I think, as we've talked about before, actually on our last call, sales ops has a lot of responsibility already, and integrating all the new apps together is just another thing to lay on their plate. So
yeah, and for those old timers like me, it reminds me of when we went from 1999 to 2000, and we had the 2000 date thing we had to all worry about. I'm sure this is before your time, but
I still remember.
It was like I was in IT at the time, consulting in mostly doing conversions. So it was a nightmare, but it's not that bad, but it does, for someone like me who's been through like nothing. There was no CRM. There was no internet when I started working in this industry. And then going into now where there's so many tools, it's just mind-boggling. It's daunting.
It is daunting.
And the fact that you guys are going to cover the entire pipeline and beyond, I think is just fabulous. I love that. Good. So someone who would want to go to that event would be a sales ops or teams that are involved in integrating the different types of tools into their current architecture.
Sure. I mean, there's definitely some overlap too with the June event. I mean, sales leaders are going to be showing up at both.
Both, right.
You know, we're going to see a pretty decent size of enterprise groups there as well. But that event will also be, you know, helpful to smaller companies as well. So startups or mid-market companies that are looking to build out their stack. That's a very good resource for them too. So it's sort of more of a catch-all in terms of company size.
Okay, great. So before we depart, I want you to tell me about your journey. So you mentioned about the fact that you worked for a non-tech startup community. What got you interested in the technology company itself? And is that, in your mind, different? Do you sell differently when you're in a tech company versus your transportation company? Or is it you can apply the principles across? Because a lot of times we're all coming from, a lot of us, a technology background. But people who are lawyers, professional service companies, accountants, brokers, real estate people, can't they all get a baseline understanding and a knowledge that can help them in their business? And since you went from a non-tech to a tech, can you share what that experience was like for you?
Yeah, you know, I think the absolute most important thing that I've learned so far in the world of sales is to know your audience.
Okay.
So a lot of the same best practices and tools sort of overlap with different industries. And, you know, we were a pretty old school company that I used to work for. And so we weren't using those tools. We, you know, we didn't even have a CRM. You know, it was very minuscule in terms of the technology we were using. But that technology overlapped. Definitely, we could have made use of a lot of those, you know, types of things that are available today.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing your audience is still key. And so, you know, I was talking to, as I mentioned before, transportation managers back then. Now I'm talking to, you know, sales leaders and marketing leaders within the tech world. And you need to approach them differently. Obviously, the technology can, you know, I can still prospect with a tool like SalesLoft or Kite Desk or something like that to both industries. But once I actually apply my messaging or talk to someone on the phone, it's a very different feel and a very different approach that I need to take based on not only who I'm speaking with individually, but the type of company, you know, the industry they're in. All that I figured out matters a lot. Specifically going from, as you said, non-tech to tech,
mm-hmm.
it was a different outreach process. Okay. You know, the language and lingo was different. You know, I had to portray myself in a different way then as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really opened my eyes to the fact that each person should be approached in a meaningful, personal way to the point where you're not just, you know, giving the same, you know, spiel to every person you talk to and hoping that it sticks.
Right.
It really has to be targeted to that person and demographic.
And I think you hit the nail on the head that the technology allows us to leverage systems and leverage probably some research components. But when it comes time to have that conversation, you cannot throw people into a mass bucket.
Right.
And speak to them all the same way. You've got to set some context around what is different about this person, because, you know, they get bombarded too with people who are doing it the lazy way. And salespeople have sort of a, you know, right or wrong, they can get lazy, especially when they're looking at these high-tech tools that can, you know, really streamline their workflow. But at the end of the day, it's still a person-to-person communication.
And that's exactly right. Yeah.
And so you may be able to cut through, like in the olden days, we used to use predictive dialing, which used to dial thousands of numbers until someone said, hello, which meant, you know, you didn't have to dial everybody. You just got the people who were on the other end of the line. But still, even then, if you didn't have something impactful or value to say to that person, it's a wasted call.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing with the email systems and all these other things. You have to be able to, you know, get on that phone and say, the reason why I'm calling is. And,
right.
you know, like John Barrows, I talked to him this afternoon. He's a Salesforce trainer, consultant.
Yeah, I love John.
Yeah.
He speaks at some of the events that we've run. And he says some invaluable things for sure.
Yeah, and he's the one who said that. And he quoted somebody else, so I'm quoting a third removed.
Okay.
About, you know, context over content. And he also talked about the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a person. So
right.
What I do is I create that super highway that allows you to put more stuff through it, but the stuff has to be quality. You can't right. not have the quality going down that pipeline. So I'm really happy that this community is where it is and it's growing and it's starting to infiltrate into the enterprise, because technology companies, because they are technology companies, embrace technology a lot faster.
Right.
And are more willing to pivot if, well, this stack didn't work, so let's move to this stack. So there's a lot of iteration. It's in the DNA of the company in a lot of ways that you're going to be able to iterate, improve, you know, the whole lean model. But when you get into the larger enterprise and go upstream, you've got more bodies to worry about. They all have opinions. And sometimes right. it takes a little bit longer to get the message in that, hey, technology can help us do this better, faster, cheaper, and with more quality.
Exactly.
And so I am very happy that you guys are out there helping people kind of open their eyes to that the stacks are going to be different depending on who your audience is. That it's first your audience. So who are you selling to? And they need to know why you, why change, why now, why you, you know, basically. Right. And once you get through that, then we can leverage technology to do more of the quality sale.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let me get the dates right for people. So then for them listening, there's a June date and then there's a November date. And I think we'll have the in the show notes the June date information. If they want to get a hold of you, Jake, yep. to find out more, what's the best way that people can contact you?
I'd say Jake@saleshacker.com.
Okay. Jake@saleshacker.com. And you respond right away with quality.
I respond within 30 seconds to a minute. Emails on my phone, email comes through my computer, email comes at all, you know, from all over the place.
So I encourage you listening to this broadcast, if you think about that, wow, we could be more efficient, could be more effective, or you just want to learn what's out there because, you know, for marketing, there are now transit maps of all the tools that are available for marketing people. And if you're doing a certain type of campaign, the entry point, what tool, you know, we still don't have that. At least I haven't seen one yet for sales. So actually connecting with Sales Hacker and what they are doing, you'll get a really great idea of at least where to begin. You know, you may not have the recipe tweaked exactly the way you want it, but you'll at least have the foundational elements that can get you further along than if you didn't review them with all that they have. And I would read their blog. I mean, it's just pretty amazing. The guest blogging on that thing is incredible.
Well, we really appreciate that. I read it every day too. So yeah. I'm still learning. As you said, we're all still learning.
All still learning. And I think we'll all continue. And things are changing so rapidly now that shame on whoever's listening to this, shame on you if you're not learning every day something. So, well, thank you so much, Jake. Really appreciate your time. And again, jake@saleshacker.com is the way to get a hold of him.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.